Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Your number one Orlando City podcast. For the fans, by the fans. For the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Hello, hello. Another edition. One of the saddest editions, the most depressing editions I think we've had in a few years. For sure. Welcome back to Orlando Lions Den Podcast. I'm your host tonight. It's Alex Brown. They call me the swag, I guess. I don't know. We can get into that another day. I guess we never really know where we came from. But anyways, y'all, 5-0, depressing. This is one of those episodes where you're like, we have to get on and do this. There's only three of us tonight, probably for that reason. Everybody else still drowning in their sorrows. But welcome to episode 7 of season 7 here at Orlando Lions Den Podcast. I'm joined with my mates tonight. We'll start with Mr. Mike, the guy that's been picking it up. He does all the Den After Darks so far this year. He'll be doing heavy it again tomorrow because I'll be at the match. Yeah, he's lifting heavy and on the Hard Rock app too. So what's up, Mike?
Oh yeah, I mean my Hard Rock account is not doing great currently. But that's because of the fact that I put a lot of faith in Orlando City, and that's a friendly reminder: is don't bet on your own team. Don't do it.
That pretty early.
Yeah. I've had like one instance where betting on the Giants has played off on me, worked well for me, and then every other instance is like, dude, you're a Giants fan, what are you doing? Dude, rough week. Like, it started off pretty good and then got really bad real fast. So I guess the positive is that we got better weeks ahead, right?
Right. Only up from here.
Hopefully. Right?
Hopefully this is rock bottom.
It's okay. This is my reminder, because you're a fellow card collector, is I actually have like a stack of He Who Will Not Be Named cards right here that I'm going to unload to a friend of mine in a couple days. Just because he's like, I want some of his base stuff because he collects literally everything. I was like, sure, dude, $50, they're all yours. Get them out of my hands. I don't want to see them anymore.
That would have paid for the last couple of weeks of my buying.
Yeah,
I had a Jesse Miram orange once. Somebody gave me as a freebie extra for Orlando City, and I just threw it away. First, I ripped it up, and then I threw it away.
Oh my gosh. Actually, well, you gave me one too, I'm pretty sure. And I have a binder with all my cards in it, and I everything's like in order of importance, and that one's on the last page.
Not even worth keeping. Talk about betting on your own team. I learned that in 2013. My buddies and I, we really wanted to go to the national championship game, the first every year of the college football playoff. FSU played Oregon in the Rose Bowl, and we figured out a way, and actually just bought my rights to the tickets for next year's national championship game if FSU makes it. But long story short, we put $1,300 on the Noles to beat Oregon on the money line, and it was gone. So we're going to take the money and use it to go to the Natty, and we lost. Then I learned never to bet on your own team. So
how many?
A one and done for me. There was four of us.
Wow, that's rough. Yeah.
And they were like big underdogs, so it was going to pay out like it was like +260 or +270 or something. So
good
payout. It would have paid out like close to three grand. It would have paid for our tickets, but it didn't work. And if you asked me if I'd do it again, I'd say yes, no doubt, no doubt about it. So, Ryder, how you doing, my man?
I'm okay. I feel shame. I feel doubt, but I'm trying to summon optimism. I spent way too much time today looking at records for CCL teams in MLS the last 3 years and how they fared going far in CCL. And I don't know. We'll talk about it. I had quite a few friends over for the match on Saturday. And I had a buddy that, talking about gambling, he asked, Alex, how are you feeling about Orlando tonight? I'm like, as I said on battered Herons last week. Orlando wins 2-1. I am 0-3 now on that podcast. And next time they invite me on, which they will invite me on again because they love me for some reason, I'm going to call a loss. I just have to because I'm 0-3. I've called a win every time and I'm 0-3. So I have to call a loss and that'll reverse the curves. That's,
I mean, it's either that or we got to send somebody else to be on the pod instead. Like, it's one of that.
Predict well next time Mike goes on the next time. Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's easy to see why they love you.
I can go on there and be an a-hole. Like, I'm really good at that. People that hear me on Den After Dark, they know that for a fact.
Well, I'm, they really don't want an a-hole is the thing, because I'm the opposite of an a-hole.
You definitely are. Like I said, I love you, buddy. You are far kinder than I.
Oh my gosh. At least we have some smiles going on. All right, we'll get into our sponsors. We'll start off first with one of the guys we're missing tonight, Mr. Eddie the Commish, Eddie Cruz, with Comparion Insurance. He works through Liberty Mutual, but Comparion is a subsidiary of that that offers more than just Liberty Mutual. So Eddie's able to shop around numerous different companies for you. He works on home insurance, auto insurance, life insurance. I think he can do like pet insurance now. So give Eddie a call if you're looking for any of that. Renter's insurance, you know, stuff to protect you. Like I say every week, you don't need insurance till you actually need it. It's similar to toilet paper. You know, you don't need it till you need it. So make sure that you buy it. If you don't have it, make sure you get that insurance from Eddie. I think he had a listener calling for a home insurance quote. Guy had a 2% deductible of his home value. You know, you're looking at $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 nowadays with the home values on a 2% hurricane deductible. And Eddie halved his premium and got his deductible, I think, down to $2,000. So in case a hurricane hits. So give Eddie a call and get a quote. It doesn't hurt. It's totally free. And he can get you set up with insurance. And if he doesn't, if he can't get you a cheaper price, he'll tell you. That's the thing about it. That's the best part about Eddie. So. Next up is Leo at the Epic Mortgage Group, Epic Mortgage Team, powered by U Mortgage. Leo Gonzalez, you got his information right there on the screen. Give him a call, 407-844-7696. You can apply with them at www.applywithleo.com. Give him a call if you are interested in finding out more information about a loan, about interest rates. They're starting to go down a little bit. So if you're interested in refinancing, if you bought a house in the last year or so, now that we got interest rates starting to tick down, give him a call, give you good advice. I can promise you that. Let's see here. Then we got Field Turf USA, our sponsor from the beginning. We appreciate Field Turf. Obviously doing a lot of this stuff on the side of the pitches that you see. It's a integrated surface between grass and turf. They do great stuff all around the world. And then Fubo TV, use that QR code on your screen. You sign up for Fubo. They got soccer all around the world. They got some great deals, some great stuff to watch. Use that QR code and it goes back to helping us do awesome things with the pod. Unfortunately, it's not free to do a lot of these things. I have these nice softwares and this thing, any little bit helps. So if you do sign up for Fubo, make sure you use our QR code. And we will greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate that. All right. I think that's it. That's all the sponsors. They're gaining. But we appreciate that. Let's talk about our Triple C, CCC. I don't think it'll never not get weird saying CCC for the CONCACAF Champions Cup. You know, we always got to be different. But we move on. 3-1. Home win versus Cavalry FC. Really slow first half, 0-0. It was like, you know, exactly what you wanted, but exactly what you didn't want type of deal. You didn't really mind it, but you didn't love it either. Was the first half, and then the second half, it started to take off. Nico gets a nice assist. Looked like, you know, him and Muriel were just on a different level against those guys from Cavalry. Ramiro Enrique with the banger of his life. One of the best goals I've seen in purple, I'd say top 5 or 10. And then Kyle Smith finishing off from Facundo Torres, which I think was supposed to be for Might have been Ramiro.
I think it was Cesar, actually, was the one in the middle.
Cesar, yeah, that's right, Cesar. And Kyle Smith comes in. Good, I mean, good thing he did, because I think he had a better chance, better
great finish.
And he knocks it home, completely eliminates him. 6-1 on aggregate, 3-1 at home. A bunch of rotation to begin the game with, so we didn't mind seeing that. Thought we would have some fresher legs on Saturday, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it was too fresh. But tell me what you guys think. We're advancing on to see Tigres again in the round of 16. A little rivalry forming against the Mexican squad from Monterrey. So I think a lot of the fans are hopeful and excited for that matchup, a little bit of a revenge action. But Ryder, let's start with you. Tell us what you thought about the home win against Cavalry.
I was very pleased with the lineup. I didn't get to watch the match live, family stuff, but seeing the highlights and seeing the lineup and seeing how we played, I was happy with it, because we definitely did what a lot of people didn't think we would do and did a heavy lineup rotation. And we went into it and we still dominated. We gave a couple of guys some minutes. Muriel got, I don't know, he got an assist, right? He was the assist on the Nico goal?
Correct.
Okay, so getting him in there, getting him blooded for an Orlando City debut was great right after his paperwork finally came in. That was great. He looked good. We got the goals, and we did what we were supposed to do. I have no complaints. I'm happy that we got a higher than expected. A lot of people thought we would just play poppy ball and just get like a 1-0 or a 1-1 kind of play. But Enrique, my goodness, that goal, and Kyle Smith even, like, coming out of the woodwork and just having fun and getting that goal. I can't complain. It was a good performance. We performed against an honestly inferior side. They're playing with USL level players, and we did what we were supposed to do. And congratulations to us. We advanced for the first time ever in CONCACAF, or in really in international play in general. So it's something to be proud of, but we have to back it up, because, like you said, our rivalry with Tigres is something that's been talked about, and now we're into the last 16 against them. So I'm hoping we can back that up and take a lot to them at home on Tuesday.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. We had CCC last year. Tigres knocked us out. We had the MLS Cup playoffs. Columbus knocked us out. We had Leagues Cup. Miami knocked us out. And those could easily be our next three opponents in the CONCACAF Champions Cup if we were to advance. So
revenge tour, baby.
It's a revenge tour is used often, and sometimes it gets used in the wrong way, you know, for just one or two teams. But this is a true revenge tour every step along the way, if possible. So it'll be interesting to see what we can do against Tigres, especially after a match like we just had. Mike, I'm going to ask you, I mean, obviously you feel probably pretty decent about the match. I mean, it was boring to start. I think we all have a similar feeling about how it went. But do you think, I mentioned this on the Den After Dark, but do you think, you know, playing a team like Cavalry two times in the middle of you know, MLS competition, which is, you know, the talent level in MLS is drastically rising every single year. I think I compared it to going from third grade math to doing calculus when you play Cavalry on Tuesday and then Miami on Saturday. What sort of impact do you think playing Cavalry, you know, 6-1, great, we made it through, but you know, does that, or what sort of impact does that have when it comes to playing the MLS schedule?
Yeah, man, it's rough. I feel like the first leg realistically should have affected us more. And obviously getting a draw against Montreal, we had some bad moments defensively in that game. We also had some moments that looked better in attack where we probably felt like we could have gotten a goal. In that game, I would have expected it to understood more of a struggle given the fact that we would have traveled like almost 6,000 miles round trip in the week leading up to it. But I don't know, with this game, with how rotated the squad was, I mean, realistically, Cartagena, Schlegel, Santos, and Ojeda, that was the only starters from the game against Cavalry that started against Miami. So I don't know, for me, it feels like it really should have been better. It should have been much better. Those midweek games are always going to have an effect. And I know Alex said he was doing some research on it. Like, teams that are in the CCC always struggle early in MLS seasons. I mean, yeah, it hit us last year, even though we were out in and out of the CCC very quickly. But every team that's had success in the CCC and gone and advanced multiple rounds usually struggles early in the MLS season because it's hard to balance. So it's upsetting that the league play the way that the schedule is, that we're seeing struggle because of it. But season's long, so if there's a positive, that's what it is for me. The regular season itself is long. There's time for things to get corrected and be better. That's my silver lining, trying to look forward.
Yeah, you know, we talk about it. I think we're from Cavalry. We did what we thought we should have done. We did what was expected against a Canadian Premiership team.
Exactly.
You know, whatever. 6-1 is nice. It's convincing. It's exactly what you want. We got our Tigres rematch that everybody wanted. So we're progressing the way that we anticipated, that we desired to progress in that tournament. Now, we look at how MLS is going so far. Draw against Montreal at home on opening night, and then we'd look at this past weekend, arguably the worst performance in the history of Orlando City Soccer. 5-0. It was never really a game. Starts with Cesar making just a horrible turnover and pass and they're attacking third, and Luis Suarez kills us. Cesar doesn't track back, and well, he does, but decides to get the man behind him instead of Luis Suarez right in front of him. Schlegel comes up on the second goal, doesn't really need to. Builder misses the tackle, and you know, we give up second goal to Luis Suarez. Janssen just, you know, didn't really look like the Janssen of old when it came to shutting that down and closing that down. Didn't get a foot on the ball, and Suarez puts it in the back of the net, and then it just tumbles all the way down from there. I think it could have been 6-7, 8-0. We're probably lucky that it wasn't at least 7-0. I think they had basically two goals called back. So we got pretty lucky with that. We had one goal called back. So it was tough, man. It was the toughest thing I think I've ever had to watch. With Orlando City, I watched the whole thing. Because the thing that made it the toughest was because we had so much hope. We had so much hope against them. It wasn't like 2018 where, yeah, we were horrible and we had plenty of just absolutely miserable performances. And then you look at back to what, you know, 2017 with Heath, where we lost to FC Dallas. You know, we were terrible before those games. And in this game, we are not. So I think that made it a lot more difficult for us to endure. I feel bad for the traveling fans, you know, that had to go down there and see that, spend their hard-earned money to see 5-0, and deal with all the Inter Pompano Beach fans. So it was a tough loss. I mean, Ryder, what were your feelings, opinions, and I think you said you had some friends over. I mean, that's, thank God I watch it by myself. I'll say that.
See, I feel the absolute opposite. I'm happy there were people over at my house and happy that they had brought some adult beverages with them, because it made it a little bit more enjoyable and to commiserate with friends. I will say this, you're talking about one of our worst performances. It is a four-way tie at this point for worst performances. We have a 5-0 loss to Toronto in 2015, a 6-1 loss to Philly in 2017, the 5-0 loss to New York in 2021 and the one against Miami that we're talking about now, 5-0. So this one hurts the most out of all of those by far, because this is the Florida Derby. I went on the Miami podcast and I called a win, and we were talking before the show that I've been on that podcast 3 times and I've called a win every time. And I don't think we've ever actually won. So I have to go on that podcast next time and call a loss just to break the streak, or else Mike's going to have to take my place. But all that being said, it hurts. It's an early season match that means a lot because it's a derby and we did not show up. And a lot of people are going to say, oh, the players didn't play. Oh, the coaching was bad. No, it was everything in between it. And we can't even claim, oh, travel was a big thing. Oh, rotation was a thing because of CCC. None of that. Like you said earlier, we only had 3 starters that even played against Calvary. This was just us coming out and trying to take it to Miami and getting bulldozed. There's nothing good to say about this. We got embarrassed. And there's only 2 ways we can go from here. Downhill at a galactic rate, or we can look at this and say, okay, this is our low point. This is our losing to Charlotte in the round of 32 of the US Open Cup last year and build from that. There's only 2 places we can go from there, because otherwise it's going to be a weird season.
Yeah, with big games coming up, Tigres tomorrow, or like today, yeah, or tonight, by the time you listen to this, we get to Minnesota, and then we get Tigres again, and then we get Atlanta. So,
those last two are
make or break, and it's early in the season, but it's make or break time for the morale for sure when it comes to Orlando City Soccer. So, Mike, your thoughts on the shellacking, the embarrassment, the complete drumming that we took down in Pompano Beach?
Yeah, so I'm not going to talk about it too much, because if you listen to Den After Dark, and there was a lot of freaking people in there listening to this one, and a lot of people that had stuff to say. So shout out to everybody that joined in on that and had a nice long vent session with me.
Group therapy is always good.
Group therapy, it is good. It is good, and is something that was nice for us to handle together. With that being said, though, and I said this on that show while we were doing it, this is our version of the Hudson River Derby's Red Wedding. You know, that was when Red Bulls beat the crap out of NYCFC 7-0 at Yankee Stadium. Like, this is
the pink only thing. Wedding?
I believe Twelman referred to it as the pink murder. And that makes I don't know if that's what's going to stick with. It's really not the best name I've ever heard. Yeah, I mean, this crap sucked, man. Like, again, you guys know I like Den After Dark because I don't have to abbreviate myself and stop myself from cursing. And I'm the one that edits these now and puts them up, so I'm not going to curse because I don't want to go ahead and take the time to edit it, because I ain't got time for that. No, I don't need to do another notes app apology for being exactly who I am as a person. This game blew really bad. It was awful. It was hard to watch. And the positive that if there is any positive that I could take from it, is that it literally can only be up from there. You know, we haven't, my biggest concern is we haven't scored a goal in 2 games in league play. So we really have to figure out what's going on with the attack and why it's not working. We were all really jazzed about the fact that Duncan McGuire was coming back. And then we also got Luis Muriel. Then we also were able to go ahead and retain the purchase for Angulo. So we have Angulo, we have Faku, we have Ojeda, we have Enrique, we have Duncan, we have Muriel, and we also brought in Nico Ladero. And 2 games in, we got no goals. So they got to figure that out. I think that's the most important thing, is going to be figuring out how to score goals. Obviously, Tigres is a whole nother animal. I am excited for that. I am optimistic. Because from what I heard is, you know, right after the result, it was said that, you know, normally after a game, whether it's win or lose, players usually get a day off for rest. Alonzo Contreras from Area Sports was tweeting that immediately after the loss is that they're practicing tomorrow. It's like, damn right, they better be, you know, like after that, are you kidding? Are you kidding? Before they got on the bus back? Because, yeah, they're not flying back. They're taking a bus back at that point. Before they got on the bus back, I would have made them gone out and ran wind sprints in that airport stadium before after all the fans cleared out of there. Like, yeah, avoid the toxic waste or whatever. But, like, you're running. You're sprinting after a loss like that on the field because, you know, it's got to be better. It just has
putting in that scene from Miracle where, again. Again.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, I was I mean, it pisses you off when you watch it. If it doesn't piss you off, you know,
dude,
sports probably aren't for you. So it's
no, just, man. You
know, there's no positives about it. It was just ugly all around.
I rewatched the highlights before we did this, and dude, I just want like trying to not punch my phone before we started doing this because I just got so mad watching them again, watching that back, because it's literally like so many of the things that we did are just things that are not indicative of an Oscar Pareja team. Like, it's not even one of those things that, like, I've never seen this team play that bad before, because of the fact that, again, like, I lived through 2017, 2016, I lived through 2018, where we lost 20 times in 25 games. Like, it was bad. I've lived through some bad performances, but the thing that hurts me the most about this is the worst I've seen our team play under Oscar Pareja. Like,
and against a rival, that's what hurts a lot.
That part does hurt 100%. But for me, it was just more upsetting because this Oscar Pareja's teams are always compact. They're always organized. They're always disciplined. We were none of that. And it doesn't matter that it was against our rival. I don't know if that was maybe something because of the star power that they have now, whatever it may be. It was just frustrating to see that, especially with the vote of confidence given to Oscar, getting him a new contract, getting him a lot of the players that he wants that fit his system. And then for it to just like in the biggest moment at the biggest time, like this was nationally broadcast on Fox, not Fox Sports, Fox. This was broadcast worldwide on Apple to the point to where they were, you know, they had so much promotion around it. I was watching WWE SmackDown on Friday night, and there was commercials with our logo hyping up this game for Saturday. We had a real big opportunity to not only like attract new fans, but people that wanted to see Messi potentially get beat or something like that. We had a real big opportunity in front of us to go ahead and capitalize on it, and we folded like a lawn chair. Like it was a massive opportunity and we completely crapped the bed.
Yep. I couldn't say it better myself. I didn't even watch the highlights. So credit to you. I got them burned in my brain. So it'll take a little while for those.
That's pain to have to go through that again.
It was, and yeah, I wish it on none of you. Don't do it.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, this is a good time to roll into to stock. I'm going to call it stock down and stock downer this week. If anybody can find a stock up, although I think I have, you know, found a stock up. I guess I'll start. I'll give my stock up to Apple TV this weekend because the Fox broadcast was absolutely miserable. I watched it for about 8 minutes and it was miserable. The referee would blow his whistle on the audio, and then you would see him blow his whistle like 4 seconds later. Like there was like a 4 second delay on the audio. It was like, I was just like, I'm switching to Apple TV. So stock up for once to Apple TV, Taylor Twellman. I enjoyed listening to him because he was trying to hype us up. He was trying to back up Orlando City, and even when we were down 5-0, he was still you know, trying to look at some positives. But it was you know, I'll give my stock up to them. My stock down is, I don't know, I gotta pick one person. I'll say Nico Ladero, because god, he looked awful. Even for 45 minutes, the dude looked absolutely miserable. He had me genuinely questioning if if he was going to be even half as good as Mauricio was last year. And that's not, the bar's not high. So, I mean, the amount of, in 45 minutes, the amount of passes that he just gave away, the amount of lack of effort that he had on the defensive side, it was bad. It was bad from Nico Lodero. Everybody was horrible. But Nico Lodero, everybody had a stock down, but Nico Lodero was stock downer for me. Mike?
I said in our group chat before we did this, my stock up was nobody and my stock down was everybody. So I know that obviously we had a decent enough performance midweek at Cavalry. If I have to give a stock up to anybody, I guess it would be Ramiro Henrique. Because, yeah, he scored the worldie against Cavalry, which is great. But he also played like he gave a damn when he got subbed in. And I honestly, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Henrique tried out in a starting role on the left wing and then bringing in Angulo as a hustle sub. Because realistically, with his speed, that's what he should be used as anyways. Like, he's not the best finisher in the world. Use that guy against tired legs. Like, I think that that's something.
Yeah, we're not going to try and we're not going to play balls over the top or make any runs whatsoever, which is what the first two games have been basically in the MLS. You know, it's just trying to play this tiki taka, you know, have to have the perfect 27 passes in a row to break down a defense as opposed to using what you got. If we're not going to do that, then yeah, I agree. Put Ramiro in. He's been tremendous out there cutting in from the left wing.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a shot. And you know, we'll end up seeing, you know, the next couple games realistically what it's going to look like. Are we going to see Duncan starting? Are we going to see Muriel starting? I feel like Muriel is probably going to come in and take over the starting role relatively soon. But it was kind of weird, you know, like watching back the game, like there's times where he's playing, you know, a central striker role, but he's also playing like 30 yards from net. I'm kind of confused, like why we're attacking the box and he's so far away from everything. So we'll see how that goes. But I mean, realistically, I gave him stock up. Stock down is, dude, Rodrigo, man. Like apparently, like Poppy said in his presser, Bracalo was not 100%, and like they didn't feel like they would be able to go ahead and run him out there. But man, Rodrigo had a rough one, dude. Like, I can't describe it any other way other than the fact that that was just bad. It was rough. Like, leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure his confidence isn't the highest it's ever been after doing what he did last year and against Columbus in the MLS Cup playoffs to basically get the fat L for us and then getting replaced as a starter in the offseason. But we ain't got time for pity parties, you know, especially against Messi and Luis Suarez and Jordi Alba, you know, and whoever else they have to break the roster rules. So, Ryder, do you got to stock up, stock down?
I mean, you're absolutely right. This is not a time for people to find themselves. So, stock up. I think Ojeda is proving himself. He had a good match against Cavalry, and he looked good. He looked okay against Miami. Obviously, no one looked great against Miami, but he looked okay. He had a couple of at least decent chance creations, but that's pales in comparison to how we actually performed. Mike took my stock down, so I'm going to honestly say that Janssen didn't exactly have a great outing against Miami either. And I'm going to give him stock down. I know he's the captain now, but we needed that center back duo. And I said on, I keep referencing my appearance on Battered Herons, but that was one thing that they asked me, what is your weakness? And I said, one of them is getting our players angry and getting in their heads. And the other one is the fact that we have an unproven center back duo, whether it's Schlegel and Janssen or Janssen and Bracalo or Brekalo. And not having Brekalo out there was, I think, hindered us. And Schlegel did not look good, but Janssen didn't help either. So it is what it is.
I think that's a good shout. When you get your ass kicked 5-0, sorry, that just came out. But when you get it absolutely, you know, wrecked, dude, when you go down 2-0 in 17 minutes, I think is what it was. That's how burned into my brain it is. When you go down 2-0 quick like that, your captain is a focal point to get you out of it, and to get the team realigned and to get you on the right foot. And, you know, fortunately for us, Robin Johnson was left-footed. It was not on the right foot when it comes to that. So, you know, we just downpoured. It went lower and lower, and it resulted in 5-0. So, but I'm not talking about that anymore. I'm done talking about it. I feel like if you want to hear more, if you want to hear our bench session, listen to the Den After Dark. It is not safe for work. There is a lot of cursing in it. A lot of it's very authentic. Me too, but that's what the Den After Dark is there for. Yeah, it is very raw. So if you want to hear more, listen to it with headphones on, and if you can put up with that sort of stuff, it is. I feel like it was a great event session. It was a good show. So check that out on our Twitter page, X, whatever they call it. Getting across the league now. Just a quick update. We'll talk a little bit about a big topic this week. Is Don Garber sucks still? Yes, that is true. The U.S. Open Cup is no longer an Open Cup. You have, eight teams from MLS. Orlando City is not represented whatsoever. I think 9 teams from MLS Next Pro or 11 teams from MLS Next Pro. It's a kerfuffle of whatever's going on with the U.S. Open Cup. It's basically a nothing trophy is what they've made it out to be now. Although it still does hold a CCC spot. Alex, you got any more information on that?
Yeah, it is not a great situation. The gist of it is that MLS has created this problem for themselves. They have created the League's Cup. They've got 5 weeks of schedule that are dominated league play stops, and it is only League's Cup, which digs into the league schedule and it digs into any other competitions. And yeah, with the 7 non-CCC clubs that are not in it and the defending champ, the Houston Dynamo, and is it 11 or was it 19? I'm
19 total between MLS and MLS Next Pro.
Okay, so there's that helps. Thank you. It's not great. And we were talking in the chat the other day, and a lot of people were angry and trying to place blame. And I was originally like, why don't we put in, before I had even read the press release, why don't we put in OCB? This would be a great test for them. This would be great experience for them. But because MLS had originally offered that and said, hey, let's just put MLS Next teams into it and not do any of them, they decided to switch it up and say only these clubs and anything below that, and eliminate eligibility for both or CCC clubs and their B squads. So it is what it is, but it doesn't change the fact that this, no one should place this on either the clubs or on U.S. soccer. This is entirely on MLS and Don Garber for making such a drastic change to the schedule. And again, this is the oldest soccer competition in North America. And everyone can claim, oh, it's a garbage cup. Oh, it doesn't mean anything. And it's not. It doesn't mean as much anymore in the sense that you don't get a berth into directly into CCC anymore, but it still has history and it still means something in this country. So it's a shame. It's sad, but the U.S. Open Cup goes on, and it goes on without Orlando City, and that's sad.
And a couple of big teams, you know, St. Louis is one of the, you know, as a city, after what I think 8 times, and they're not in it. And DC United is, you know, big.
DC United,
from what I saw,
yeah, DC United doesn't even have an MLS Next Pro team. So even if they wanted to field a B team, they can't. Like, because their MLS Next Pro team decided to go independent as Loudoun United. So they're in the USL instead. And they're no longer permanently affiliated with DC United. So it's just everything around it kind of sucks. Everything around the ref situation sucks. The fact that, I'm going to probably go off topic a little bit or jump ahead, but like the fact that there was a memo that got sent out to, you know, press doing MLS games saying, hey, try not to belabor the point about the ref situation. Like, the ref situation literally just cost Kansas City 3 points over the weekend. Like, the ref situation arguably cost LA Galaxy 3 points the week before. Like, these things aren't cutting it. You guys want people to not talk about it, but everyone should talk about the fact that these replacement refs are not doing good. Not to mention the fact that, Alex, I'll let you go ahead and explain it, because I know you said you were going to talk about what happened with MLS ref stats on Twitter and the information that he found out.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be my shout out, but I'll do it. I'll do it now. You know, MLS.
My bad. Put on
and called it out. Thank God. I don't think. I don't think it would have mattered. Either. I mean,
it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah. You know, Messi's dad could have refed against us, and it probably wouldn't have been much worse. So, but yeah, you know, a guy comes on and it's a replacement ref with probably a basic license. He's probably like a bowling alley attendant on his off days. And you know, he has Inter Miami jersey on and all of his pictures at tailgates and stuff going to games. And he's reffing a nationally televised game. He's a center ref in the nationally televised game. It's like, they not only do they have these replacement refs, but they didn't even vet them.
And they announce it the day of.
A Twitter account can.
They announce it the day of, and they have to replace him the day of. That's the crazy part. Like, how are you not at least doing something?
Yeah, and the VARs, and if you guys have seen, an assistant VARs are always to be determined when they TBD. Announce the. It's just, it's a sham. I saw something that said that their request, it would cost $300,000 per team to approve what the referees, the pro referees are wanting, which is what, roughly, I don't know, $8 million, I think, total, to improve their entire compensation package. You know, that's just quick math off my head, but it's like, we got to come to something, and MLS needs to realize that they're playing a risky game, because the more these Sporting Kansas City incidents happen where the ball clearly goes off of a Philadelphia player and then they give the throw into Philadelphia and then Philadelphia gets an equalizer in the 94th minute, 40 seconds later, you know, it's the more that happens, the more bargaining power pro referees is going to have. So I saw another thing that said if pro referees doesn't come and to negotiate, MLS is going to make the offer worse. Yep. And that is
it's tied to making the deal by, it's either tomorrow or Wednesday. And if not,
that's against labor laws too. It's like, they don't even know that. It's like, do they even have a lawyer? Because you can't go into a negotiation in bad faith with the intention to say, if you don't accept this, you know, you can say the offer is not going to get better, but you can't say the offer is going to get worse and we're never going to come up from it, you know? So it's like, that's against laws that have been written in the United States Supreme Court that, you know, we can dig into, but like we said last week, I've never thought I'd be, you know, so adamant about Ted Uncle and Alan Chapman getting a paycheck, but here we are. And I hope they can come to a solution swiftly. So
it's sad that sentence has been uttered 2 weeks in a row on this program, and we actually mean it, because we don't like either of those guys, and they would be a cold glass of water in hell compared to the embarrassment that this league is going through. And it's sad because, the headline right there says Don Garber sucks still, and I don't know if enough people are talking about the fact that maybe it's time for Uncle Don to go out to pasture, because he's not having a good start to this year, between completely upsetting the fabric of U.S. soccer with trying to skip the Open Cup and completely botching these referee negotiations. Between the two of those things, it's not a good look for a league that is in an all-time rise. We have arguably the best player to ever play soccer that just manhandled our club. Yeah, we get that. And it's still not enough to get him to come to the table and do what needs to be done. And that's something that needs to be looked at, and he needs to manage the league better. He also, I mean, Mike was adamant a couple weeks ago about how we're doing so much as a league now, and we need to increase. I mean, look at the NFL. They just did a record increase. They got the Taylor Swift increase on the salary cap. We should have gotten the Messi increase on the budget for teams this year. Should have gotten the Messi fourth DP, and we didn't.
And might I say, we feel this way, and Orlando City hasn't even been screwed over yet by the refs.
No, exactly. No. That, like, we're just looking at it objectively, which is a rare thing for us, because normally we feel like we're going to get screwed by the refs, and we didn't. We screwed ourselves.
And just to put a bow on this, so that way we can move on to the previews, I just want to go ahead and give a shout out. It's actually an LAFC podcast called Happy Foot, Sad Foot. They had Adam Conover from Adam Ruins Everything. They had him on, and he interviewed Peter Manikowski, who's the president of the PSRA, which is the referees organization. It's like a 25-minute interview podcast talking about some of what the protest's about, what their demands are. Like, they have some people, some referees that are making $30,000 a year. Like, there's got to be some better things. I highly recommend that. If I remember
link to in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes if I remember to. But it's, if not, you guys see my Twitter handle, message me on Twitter and I'll send it to you. Like, it's they're not it doesn't seem like what they're asking for is honestly outlandish or crazy. And you're right. You know, I feel weird saying pay Alan Chapman, but at the same time, please, for the love of God, pay Alan Chapman.
Yeah. All right, we move forward. Let's before we get to the predictions, we'll intertwine it with the predictions. Talking about Tigres and talking about Minnesota this week. You know, there's
dark cloud
outlook, I guess. Well, yeah, a cloud and outlook within you know, Orlando City fan base is it time to worry yet? You got people who are saying it's early in the season, which is obviously true. Thanks for the facts. But then there's also people who have watched the games and see no goals and see 5-0 and it's been rough. You know, we've got our way done in CCC, but just quickly, boys, you know, are you worried yet, Alex?
No, and this is where I get to finally break out my research. I'm not worried yet, because if you look back the last 3 years at CCC, CCL participants that have gone the farthest from MLS, they 2021, Philly started out their first 10 games, 5-3-2, one draw and two losses to start the season, and they lost the semifinals in CCL. 2022, Seattle won the whole darn thing.
Damn's in the Bible, you're fine.
They won the whole damn thing, and they went 4-1-5. They lost five matches, including two losses to start in 2022, and in 2023, LAFC, which is this is the one that has me a little bit more concerned, but they started 6-3-1 with two wins and a draw for their first three, and they lost the final. So it's a mixed bag of should we be concerned versus this is what CCC teams are going through. To further that, looking at what all the other CCC clubs have done so far this season, so far in league play, Philly is gone, has had two draws. We've had one draw and one loss. Nashville has two draws. Cincy has a win and a draw. Revs have lost two. Houston has drawn one and lost one. St. Louis has won and drawn. And then Miami, even though they haven't even entered yet, have won and drawn. So not a lot of wins to be seen. And I think the stat was last week that in opening week, CCC members were 0-5-1. So while I am a little concerned that we haven't scored in league play yet, and we've put all our goals into CCC so far, I don't think we should press the panic button at all yet. It hurt that we got manhandled by messy Miami, but it doesn't change the fact that my outlook for the season has not changed. This is a deep club. We're testing our players. We've had a couple of players, newer players that have inserted themselves into the squad. And I think we can still carry on. But this was the turning point. Like I said earlier, this was our loss to Charlotte after winning the Open Cup the previous year and then getting eliminated in the round of 32. This is where you make or break a club, and it happened early. So buck up or shut up.
I agree. I'm not worried yet. I won't be worried if we lose the Tigres. Same sentiment for me as last year. If we lose the Tigres, at least we're out early in the bracket, the tournament. So whatever to me. I like playing. I'd rather play Tigres, you know, one of the best teams, one of the favorites. I'd rather play them early than go through the whole tournament wasting time against Cavalry 2 and whatever team from Honduras, and then you know, waste all those minutes and legs and then lose to Tigres in the semifinals. So I'm glad we're playing them again in the round of 16. Mike, are you worried? And then give me a prediction against Tigres
at home. So I'm not worried yet. I am concerned at the lack of goal scoring. And I think that's something that we just have to get back to our roots. We just got to get back to, you know, maybe we need to play a little bit more route one ball, use our speed to get in behind. You know, we got players who can play that way. Need to utilize them. As far as predictions go, there's one thing that I think could be a remedy for everything. And I think we're going to find that against Tigres. And that is, we're all going to get served up a Poppy special. I think that's what's going to happen. I'm being overly confident in that because of the fact that Tigres obviously is one of the best teams in North America. They're also coming off a loss to Toluca at the weekend. So they also were playing away. So they have a lot of travel right now. I think a Poppy special will temper, calm everybody down, get everybody right, get their minds right, and get everybody feeling better. So Poppy special against Tigres, book it.
I am not going to go Poppy special. I am going to say this team has shown me before their ability to respond, their ability to, prove me wrong and whatever I'm thinking is going to happen, whatever we're all thinking is going to happen, they showed me the ability to do the exact opposite. I'm going to say 3-1, Orlando City.
Wow.
Gets the dub. And I won't be surprised to see a 2-0 or a 3-0. I think the goals are going to come. I think that that the team will know what the importance is between of the away goal. And I think they're going to come out pissed off. And I think they're going to come out angry. And we'll be at home. And I think that's going to play a big part. I think being the home team first this year as compared to last year, going away first, is going to be the difference. And I think we will come out and beat them convincingly.
You get the opportunity to put your foot on the gas first. I feel like you got to take it. So I like that there.
Yep.
I am feeling that I'm a little gun shy on predictions right now. So I've been adamant since I looked at this schedule, and I think for Tigres, it's going to be a 1-1 draw. We are going to play some poppy ball, but I think we're going to at least show Tigres that we're the same club, if not better. And it's all going to come down to the trip down to Monterrey next week. But for Minnesota, I think that that's going to be the reckoning we need more than anything, because we've had the blessing to not have to travel on the weekend. And I think we're going to win against Minnesota. That's where we're going to get the goals, and we're going to awaken some of the sleeping giants, and we're finally going to break the 180-minute league goal drought, and we're going to win 3-1.
The important thing is not allowing the goal, honestly. And I hope it's not even 3-1, because I don't want to have an away goal at all.
Oh, I'm talking about Minnesota wins.
Yeah. But you said 1-1, I said 3-1. So I'm thinking I'll go 2-0. I think we're really gonna have what Mike says. I think we're really gonna have that poppy special where they show up and play defense, because if we get zero goals allowed against Seagrass and go there and score one goal, the chances of us going advancing are extremely, extremely high. So you say 3-1 against Minnesota, Ryder?
Yep. I think Muriel is going to open his account for us in league play, and I think both Duncan and Facundo show up as well.
I'm going to say 1-1 against Montreal after we beat Tigres.
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Northern M teams.
One of the super cold places on the planet to start with M.
I mean, anywhere was better than Salt Lake City. I mean, watching the last 25 minutes of that match brought me more joy with the red or the orange ball and the absolute blizzard than the entire Orlando match, because they were in chaos there, and that was fun to watch.
I think my favorite thing from that game was 100% was Tom Bogert tweeting, "Welcome to MLS, Hugo Lloris, here's Utah."
Yep.
Poor guy.
Friend of the
Mike, what's your predictions for Minnesota?
So for Minnesota, dude, we're riding poppy specials, man. That's what it's going to be. I'm going back-to-back poppy specials. Poppy special against Tigres, poppy special against Minnesota. Defense is a little bit meh. Emmanuel Reynoso is out, so some of their creativity is not there. They did get a last-gasp draw against Columbus. But I think that we can go ahead and take care of them, and it's going to be a poppy special on top of a poppy special for us to then go to El Volcan midweek and then away at Atlanta. That's going to be a fun episode. We got to make sure we try and get all the guys on for that one. So big games next week, but
depending on how tomorrow goes,
When this goes out, because we're filming this Monday night. I'm going to make sure that this is posted probably late Monday night, and I'm going to share it on Tuesday morning. But
no word from Field Turf yet.
I think that the word from Field Turf is that we're not going.
It's okay. Yeah, I think it's important to remember about the Wagel tiebreaker in the Champions Cup. And
huge.
I think it's also important to remember we were about 14 inches away on a Duncan McGuire screamer last year from advancing against them last year. So I think the boys will be ready. Even I know it's crazy to say after getting shellacked 5-0, but I think that's an anomaly. I was pissed off on Saturday night. But you know, I'm not going to let that dictate how I feel moving forward as of right now.
I just remember there was this video on Twitter had to be like years ago, and it was definitely from like some kind of like Eastern European soccer league, and or it might have been like lower English leagues, and there was just a coach in the locker room going around slapping all the players in the face after a game. And I just kind of picture after that game, Poppy, that's how he's handling things. Most mild-mannered guy, but he's just slapping everyone in the face in the locker room. Are going to be ready. Boys are going to be ready. Short memory. Remember, obviously, you want to remember this moment so you know how bad it feels. And so that way you never feel that way again.
Be a goldfish.
Yep.
There we go. Of course. Back to Ted Lasso.
That's practically my religion. Come on now.
All right. I mean, we shout talked out about the Bible Mike earlier. Mike already spoiled my shout out at MLS Ref Stats for calling out the Inter Miami fan that was supposed to be our center referee on Saturday. So thank you, MLS Ref Stats, for doing the due diligence that apparently Don Garber and his posse couldn't even Google for, took 45 seconds. So that just shows you what we're dealing with these replacement refs and the negotiation skills. Mike, your shout out.
I got two. First one is a shout out to my game day fit. It's going to be getting retired. I was wearing, sunshine jersey.
This is the last time I wear this jersey.
And I was wearing replica. I was wearing replica, Mr. Ass King of the Ring, shorts. So that's Badass Billy Gunn, for those that know wrestling. I was wearing replica shorts from when he won King of the Ring for every game last season. So those shorts are getting retired. And also, speaking of retirement, my other shout out is to Sting, man. I grew up loving wrestling. Sting had his last match last night. It was actually it was amazing. It was awesome. His sons were there with him. It was super cool. And then this one wrestler, Darby Allin, went through a pane of glass from like a huge ladder. And I thought he died, and he didn't. And because he didn't die, it was really freaking cool. So shout out to Sting, Stinger, awesome career, the icon, the franchise. Love that dude. Wrestling's still cool, y'all. I don't care what anybody says. I'm 30-something year old man. I still like wrestling. I don't give a shit.
I can't hop on it. Ryder, you're
You're fine, man.
I'm right there with you.
Because it's the last one time I ever wear this shirt. This is the first time I wore it in a long time for a game. So I have no ties to it. The only thing I had clean because I just went on the cruise, and I'm never wearing it again after this episode.
Yeah, I thought we were away, so I'm going to wear the Sunshine kit because we're away, but we ended up wearing the home kit, and I didn't change, and it hurt. So. Yeah, I gotta pay better attention to what the guys are wearing, and maybe we'll actually do something. So I'll be wearing the home kit for the next two matches. Doesn't matter how much it stinks, not gonna wash it yet. Cause they've done well when I've worn it the last two times. So I also have two shout outs. My first is to Darwin Nunez, who saved my Saturday at the 99th minute. With a nice little goal that kept Liverpool in the title race. And my second shout out is to Cleon. I know you're having dental surgery tomorrow. Hope you do well, bud. Just keep the weights away from you and you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Just don't run anything after when you're still on your. On the meds, because we don't want a what was the old David at the dentist or something like that?
David after dentist, yeah.
Yeah. Don't want that. Don't want him running like that. Speaking of running, after the Orlando match, all my buddies and I were talking about the combine, and we're all like, oh, we should see how we can run. I ran a 6.9 and a 7.1, so I can't make running jokes because I am slow as hell.
I'm honestly surprised that you decided to admit that on air. So
I don't care. I have no chance.
6.9.
Nice. Nice.
And shout out JJ too, because he had to go Saturday, watch his team, Orlando City, lose 5-0, and then Sunday he had to watch Benfica lose 5-0. So that was, you thought your weekend was tough. It could just get a little tougher. But anyways, y'all, we appreciate you guys for listening. Like Mike said earlier, we appreciate everybody's participation in the Den After Dark. We hope you guys join us more. If you're listening to this and you're not on Twitter or X, get on it for the Den After Dark, even if that's the only thing you use it for. If you hate Elon Musk, that's fine. Most of us do too, but we still use the spaces because it is a great platform to operate late night or after game, post game therapy session. So come on for the Den After Dark. It's usually right after kickoff or right after final kick on game day. So come join us on the Den After Dark. We appreciate you guys for listening. And there might have been no positives on Saturday, but we can always keep it positive and look forward and hope for the best with our Lions. So, as always, Vamos Orlando, y'all. We'll see you guys Tuesday night.
Vamos.
Vamos.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.